Good evening. We left off last week, and this is part of what I, I didn't finish off last week, but I had a reason for it. Because, like a lot of parishes, they have, excuse me for my cough, it's a little allergies. They have a connection, one cedar to the next. And the basic question here is, at this point in time, we know that Vayikra Moshe Elo Shea Binot Yoshua, Moshe gave a bracha to Yoshua that he shouldn't fall prey to the atzas, to the advice and the point of view of the other meraglim. He should give them. He should give them a bracha. But then, if that's the case, why wouldn't he give them all a bracha? I mean, at least Kalev, and we know Kalev himself, according to the Medrash, he went to Maris HaMachpelah to ask, you know, for guidance from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but nevertheless, why didn't he give it to everybody if he was so worried? But the point is, there was a different factor involved over here. When Eldad Umedad, at the end of the parsha last week, started giving the vua, when it said, Eldad Umedad misna bimba machaneh, and the Gemara tells us, and the Medrash tells us, what were they saying that was so hurtful or so that they went to tell him. First of all, what was so tremendous about Eldad Umedad, different from the Zakenim, and the Zakenim that were having their Nevuah were in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, which means that when you're in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's the interference, so to speak, the Shefa of the from Moshe Rabbeinu, his Nevuah, his prophecy sort of shone down and gave them the ability, the connection, the electricity towards them. But they are away from everybody else, and therefore they themselves had their own power of Nevuah, had nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu, so it had more cachet, so to speak, what they said. It was more concerning. What did they forecast? Moshe meis Yehoshua machnis, that Moshe would die and Yehoshua would take them into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe realized and took it very seriously at this point in time, and he felt that if this was the case, that Yehoshua was going to be the next leader to take them into Eretz Yisrael. Of course, he could not know for a fact if this would happen. This was before what happened with the Meraglim, but nevertheless, he gave Yehoshua a bracha at this time, Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea Ben Nun Yehoshua. And of course, the obvious question is, we see previous to this parsha, many times in the Chumash, till now, especially in Kisisa and other places where Yehoshua is referenced, he's called Yehoshua before this. And but the Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu always called him Yehoshua, but that was his nickname. And now he finally gave him the official title of Yehoshua, became his permanent name, not a nickname, and not just what Moshe called him privately. And that's why. He officially changed his name. Now, till now, it was just something that he called him personally. Very interesting thought process. So, Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea Ben Nun Yehoshua, and now was the time to do it because of what preceded in the end of Parshas Vahaloscha. Now, V'chol O'am Asher Reinu B'Solcha and Shemi Dos. It's a very, the Meraglim come back, they go and they spend 40 days, and they come back and they bring all the fruits. First, we have a problem that Moshe put thoughts into their mind. What was the problem with what Moshe did? At initially, we see when we mentioned it before, when we get to Parshas Devarim in a few weeks, yet right before Tisha B'Av, very appropriately, and Moshe tells Klal Yisrael, the reason I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael is because of the Maase Meraglim. Is God blame Moshe for putting ideas and putting thoughts into their head? Are there 45 cities and various other things? Are they strong people? Are they weak people? But the interesting point over here is the Cholo'om Asher Reinu B'Solcha Anshei Midos. What does it mean, Anshei Midos? And Simcha Binim Sofer, the grandson of the Chassan Sofer, makes a very interesting point over here. He wants to know, before God is going to kick people out of the land and let the Bnei Yisrael go in and conquer the land, not only do the Jews have to deserve to go in and conquer the land and take it for themselves, bring them in successfully, but the other people also have to deserve to be driven out. And Moshe asked them to find out if they have any chusim, do they have any merit, are they good people or are they bad people? If they're bad people like Sodom, then there's nothing to worry about, then God wants to chase them out. But if they're tzaddikim in any way, shape, or form, if they have any traits that are very good, then maybe they don't deserve to be sent out of Eretz Canaan. And what they said is, on Shemi Dos, that there were so many, they saw so many, as Chazal tell us, they saw so many people dying and there were so many funerals going on and they were giving kavod to the people, they were burying them. And they were burying them with big kavod, they were making hespedim, and they were doing all these things so that these people had great merit. They had tremendous midos in terms of burying people, and that's what they were saying. V'cholawam asher ra'inu b'socha anshei midos, they had good midos, they had good character traits in terms of taking care of certain things, which would be cause for alarm if they were going to take out of the land. Maybe they didn't deserve to get kicked out. The point is over here, though, what does it mean in terms of what was going on? What naturally, so many times we see what God does and we take it the wrong way. What was the purpose that God caused so many people to die? The Meraglim came back and said there was so many, the land is so difficult, so many people, they're dying left and right. But we look at things the wrong way and we take the wrong tack in assessing what we're looking at. God did it on purpose so that they should be so busy wondering and taking care of all the dead people, all the funerals that would go on, that they wouldn't notice a dozen strangers coming into the land and surveying the land, and the Jews were coming in. A lot of the countries, a lot of the lands around there, the seven nations were on the lookout for Jews coming in so that we could see in Yoshua where they had to hide, the two Meraglim, they had to hide and so that they wouldn't be caught. And here they would be concerned about being caught. Here it wasn't just two, there were 12. And they thought also maybe the Jews are coming in now and they'd be on the lookout. So God made them be very busy with the funerals so that they would be not, so to speak, confused, but they would be too busy with their own problems to be concerned about strangers marching around in the land. But they didn't take it that way, and they just saw people dying left and right. And nevertheless, they thought it was for the bad. Sometimes we take a look at things that are going on, and we, you know, when we hear all the stories of Nachum Ish Gamzu, who always said Gamzu L'Tova, many times things, when one door closes and we think that it's a terrible thing, many times it's another door opening. As we know, all these, you know, platitudes that we have, that we say, but the truth of the matter is, if you have the right attitude and see, sometimes it's a tremendous opportunity when something happens that you take a look at it. It's a good thing. I know in my own life that many times something, for the moment, it looked like something very bad happened, but the end result is it was for the best, and the end result turned out to be very positive. And we have to wait until we see how things shake out before we could say it was a terrible thing that happened. But of course, once again, only God knows. Generally speaking, nobody really knows why things are happening. And if we're lucky, we could find out sometimes just a couple of things in their life, why they took shape the way they did, which is a very interesting thought process. So Elokim Chashavola Tova, like we see at the end of Bereshis, when Yosef is trying to tell his brothers that all these things that were so happy, that were so terrible, that for 20 years everybody's struggling, but it was for the best, because now at least everybody is coming down, b'save upon him yafos, that your father gets to, even though he suffers for all this time, but at least he will die in peace and the family will be tied together. We have to wait until all the chips fall where they may and see if how it works out. Sometimes, hopefully, we get to see it in our lifetimes, and sometimes we don't. The interesting thing, again, probably mentioned, but it's a very powerful thought, when it says when God punishes the Meraglim after he kills them, and the truth of the matter is they deserve so much more, and the people, why did the people deserve it? Because they cried, and as we know, it's a very common thing. How many times did a mother say, you know, if your father says to you, "Are you crying for nothing? I'll give you something to cry. You want to cry? I'll give you something to cry about." And that's exactly, maybe that's where the expression comes from. When God says to them, Yom LaShana, Vayivku Am B'Laila Ahu, they cried on that night. And of course, we know, B'Chil Adoros, this is going to be, you know, Shivasu B'Tamuz or Tisha B'Av. On this day, things would change drastically in the future. For Klal Yisrael, this would be a day of mourning for the rest of us, as just as we see what we had yesterday. We had Chaf Sivan, which was the anniversary of Tach V'Tat, way back in the year 1648 and 1649, when so many Jews were massacred. There are so many different thought processes, not figures, of from 25,000 up to 200,000 Jews were slaughtered in various areas in the Ukraine, that they were slaughtered. And the reason it became a fast day at that point in time was that in 1171, in the time of Rabbeinu Tamiet, there was also on that day, on the 20th day of Sivan, there was a mass murder of Jews when the Polish nobles, so to speak, turned their backs on the Jews, as you would expect, so to speak. They promised to save them, but they gathered them all into a cage and they burned them all to death. And so that day, they reconstituted that day, since so many tragedies happened once again in Blois, B-L-O-I-S, in France. The same thing happened again, and they slaughtered so many Jews. And, of course, it kept on going for a few years that this would happen. And so it's and one of the reasons it's always done on we fast is on a Friday, because that's the one, the Chaf Sivan is the one day they chose, because it could never come out on Shabbos. And it was for quite a number of years, it was a regular fast day. Of course, it has fallen by the wayside now, because we use, like regularly speaking, we use Tisha B'Av as the day of mourning, because all things emanate from Churban Bayis. If we didn't have Churban Bayis, there would be no problems, which is why a lot of Rabbanim are very against establishing new days on the calendar. Because if we didn't have that, if we didn't have Churban, we wouldn't have had all the tragedies that have happened since then. But the interesting thing is, again, the language that God uses, Yom LaShana, it should be Shana LaYom, a year for a day. If he's giving them 40 years for 40 days, why does it say a day for a year, a day for a year? It's backwards. But what the Abarbanel makes a very powerful point and says, Yom LaShana, followed by Tisu es avonoseichem aboim shana, you will carry the sin for 40 years. Meaning what? Yom LaShana, one day a year, I give you one day a year, Yom Kippur, to forgive you for all your sins. But now Tisu avonoseichem aboim shana, I'm taking away the graces of that day, that you will lose that one day a year when I forgive you for all the sins, and they will pile up for the 40 years. Nobody can withstand 40 years of their sins piling up without forgiveness from God. So, Tisu avonoseichem aboim shana, v'idatem estinu osi. Then you will understand how I operate, so to speak. Without forgiveness at least once a year, nobody could withstand. And so they began to die. Those, obviously, who couldn't even make it through 1 year died sooner than others, and some were better, who were able to make it longer, obviously lasted a little bit longer as the years went on. And that's just an interesting take. And, of course, we have the Lashon, is when it says, and they carried, God does things nida k'neged nida. The words, the language that he uses is exactly, expressly what he means to teach them a lesson. The same way they use their words, they wanted to show how heavy the fruits were carrying from Eretz Israel to show that these must be giants. B'nei Anok, Ra'inu, V'sham Ra'inu, B'nei Anokim, these giants were living in the land, because look at these fruits, they're so huge that it took us to carry, we needed four people to carry these vines, to carry. So God says, Tisu Avonoseichem, you think this is heavy to carry? Tisu es Avonoseichem, Aboim Shana. Let's see if you can carry your sins. If you think that's heavy, see if you can carry your sins for 40 years. It's impossible. So now, Tisua Savonoseichem, Aboim Shana. And when Moshe prays for them again, Madua Misfalel is Moshe, what he says to God when he asks for forgiveness, he says, Zechasher Nostos Olam Azeh, you've been carrying them all this time till now. In Mitzrayim, you took them out, you withstood, and you carried them. So it's again the use of that language. And God is always looking for that use of language that we see. Of course, we get to the Mekoshei Sheitzim, and that's a very interesting part again. The language again is very important, because we see when the person that we learned in Parshas Emor cursed the name of God, it uses for he cursed the name of God. It says he did it in the past tense, and the witnesses have to come and say he did it. The interesting thing by Shabbos is, if somebody went ahead and did, and he didn't have two witnesses at the time that it was Mechal Shabbos, of course God will punish him, but punish him privately with Koras or Misa B'dei Shemayim, whatever his penalty will be. But to get witnesses to come forward, they have to catch him in the act. And therefore, when it says, Vayimtzu uish mikoshei sheitzim, it's Lashon Hove, it's the present tense. They saw him do it. They warned him right then. What in the world do you think you're doing? You're doing things. You're gathering eitzim on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to do it. You're carrying Bishus HaRabim. You can't do that. And Vayimtzu mikoshei sheitzim b'yom HaShabbos. He was in the midst of doing the Maisa. And that's where the query came in. Does it mean that they have to kill him, or is that something, is it considered b'fahesia, or is it considered privately? Well, God will punish him, God's going to kill you, but nevertheless, you weren't putting anybody else's life in danger, and therefore, there was a split in the ranks, so to speak, when it says, v'yirgamu osobu avonim, there are many stones as opposed to b'nakfo shame, you must, when you curse the name of God, it says, v'yirgamu oso oven. Everybody understood that it was, they were all on the same page. It was sort of like one stone. Everybody was of one mind when they killed that person. But here there were many different thought processes, whether he should be killed or not. And therefore, of course, Moshe had to check with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point in time if he indeed deserved to die, if the Misa was Skila as well. Of course, we finish off with the Parsha of Tzitzis. And the Parsha of Tzitzis is, you know, we say that you look at your Tzitzis, whose Chartem is called Mitzvot Hashem. Well, how do you see that? You look at the Techeles, you look at the blue in the Tzitzis, it makes you think of the sea, the blue sea. You look at the blue sea, and then you see the sky reflects the light of the, why is the water blue? Because it's reflecting the sunlight, which is from the blue sky. The sun makes the sky blue, and then you will think of God. Why do we need all these things? Why don't we just say, if you look at your tzitzis and you will see God, and whether it's in the water, whether it's in the heavens, but you'll know that this is, you're wearing a yarmulke, you're wearing your tzitzis, you know, you're thinking God is on your mind, so you could see God. And the point is, it mentions all these things because if you want to see God, you could see God in everything in the world. Look around you. You look up. You look down. You look at the world, how it exists, that we go on from day to day, and how everything keeps on going, how Tola Eretz Al Bulima, we think we always like to say we're standing on terra firma. We're on firm ground. But if you look up in space, and you look down from the spaceship, and you see the Earth is floating in the sky. What is the earth standing on? Nothing. It's floating in the heavens. So you may feel secure because you're standing on the earth, but what is the earth standing on? The earth is not standing on solid ground. And that's the major part that we had in the Hukosai and so many times. It's very nice to remember and believe in God, but the major thing that we want to know, it's very good that you believe in me, except that I need you to also perform the mitzvahs, do them. It's nice to remember and know I exist, but there's a limit to how much I can take in terms of just remembering me or remembering me and that I gave you 613 mitzvahs, whose chartem is called mitzvahs Hashem, but vasisem osam, and do that. And of course, with that in mind, may we all have a successful week. We'll do kol mitzvos Hashem v'asisem osam. Everybody have a good week. Thank you.